Morning, everyone. For those that don't know me, my name's Alan Foster, and I, together with Penny, my wife, we worship here at the church. We're continuing to look at what Jesus said and did in Mark's Gospel. We've been going through Mark's Gospel, and we've got to chapter 2, verse 23. And so far, in the first two chapters, the Apostle Peter, through the writing of Mark, and remember, it's Mark's Gospel, he wrote it down, but the historical account is almost certainly from Peter, has shown his readers that Jesus is the Son of God, and that as the Son of God, he has all authority. We were singing earlier about Jesus reigning over all. He has all authority. In chapter 1, Mark has explained that Jesus has authority to explain God's word. That's in verse 22. And then in verse 27, Jesus has authority to cast out demons. In verse 34, Jesus has authority to heal people with diseases. And in verse 41, Jesus has authority to make unclean clean. This was a kind of major thing for the Jewish people, uncleanliness and cleanliness, when he heals a man with leprosy, an outcast. And then in chapter 2, he goes even further. Jesus has authority to forgive sins when he forgives and heals the paralyzed man. So all of this is amazing to the new followers of Jesus. And it's also a serious challenge to the religious leaders of the time, namely the Pharisees and the scribes. In our reading today, Peter and Mark explain that Jesus has authority over the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is an example of the law. So as we move into our reading, I'm going to be old-fashioned and give you a text. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Sometimes after church service, Penny and I have gone home, and then in the afternoon we go out for a walk, and then we'll say to one another, "What was the sermon about?" And we go, so this is for you to remember, the text is Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And then you can go, "Oh yeah, I remember now." So let's pray as we begin to look at God's word. Lord, as we read your word, we ask that you would show us yourself and show us what you have done for us, that we may be your faithful disciples. Lord, today is Trinity Sunday. We remember that your word is inspired by your Holy Spirit, who you have given us. We're told that the Holy Spirit will convict us when we do things wrong. If we have wrong thoughts, wrong teachings, we ask now that your Holy Spirit will convict us. We're told that the Holy Spirit will counsel us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us from your word. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And we pray that these words may be of comfort to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look again at the text and go through it. So for those that want to follow in the Bible, we're looking at Mark 2, starting at verse 23. And I was just thinking when I was sat there and thinking about the text again, we do take it for granted that we have God's word before us, don't we, in a language that we understand. And we should be, what's the word, more mindful about that and more, I don't want to say respectful to God's word, but more acknowledging that this is God's word. So, Mark 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees are referring to the fourth of the Ten Commandments. That is, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Jesus explains to the Pharisees that there is a precedent in the scriptures set by King David. David appears to have broken the law when he and his men were hungry and ate the bread allocated for the priests in the tabernacle. Then Jesus said to the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Jesus explains to them that the purpose of the Sabbath is a day of rest given to man by God. It is not a regulation just for the sake of it. Rather, it is for man's well-being and enjoyment. Jesus continues in verse 28, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus, having explained the purpose of the Sabbath, Jesus says he is Lord of the Sabbath. He's telling them that he, Jesus, has authority over the Sabbath. So in these two sentences, Jesus explains the purpose of the Sabbath, it is for man's well-being, and the position of Jesus in relation to the Sabbath, he is Lord and has authority over the Sabbath. We then continue in chapter 3. "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there." Just notice another time. It wasn't necessarily immediately afterwards, but Mark is putting these two points together because it's all about the Sabbath and Jesus' authority over it. "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked everybody, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?'" Jesus is again challenging them about the purpose of the Sabbath. It is not a rule for the sake of it, but it is rather for man's good. But the Pharisees remained silent. That's verse 4. Jesus looked around at them in anger and was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Note Jesus shows both anger and sorrow at the attitude of the Pharisees, because they put their rules and traditions before helping people. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Jesus demonstrates that he does have authority over the Sabbath by healing the man on the Sabbath. Then the Pharisees went out, began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. So it's okay to plot to kill somebody on the Sabbath, but don't do anything else. I mean, the hypocrisy is incredible. So in summary, from the reading, Jesus is teaching us, first, the needs of people are more important than keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And second, that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He is God. I just want to pause for a minute, because this is something extra I thought about. I'm going to pick on Martin. I always pick on Martin when there's a question. When was the Sabbath given? Great. So a lot of people would reply, when was the Sabbath given? It was the Ten Commandments. It's when Moses and the people of God were in the wilderness. And Moses goes and receives the Ten Commandments. But the Sabbath is really given back in Genesis 1, when God says, let us make man in our image. And he says, let us. It's Trinity Sunday. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Day 6. Day 7. And we will have a day of rest, which is ordained for man. So the Sabbath goes right back to creation. That's why Jesus can say, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. He created it with God the Father and God the Spirit. It's not a command that comes down at the time of... Well, it is also a command that comes down, but that's God giving the instructions to the people how to live, and I'll mention that in a minute. But it's not the original ordination of the Sabbath, which is in Genesis. So how does this teaching apply to us? As I was preparing for this talk, I was challenged with my attitude to the Ten Commandments, which basically is, you know, they're in the Old Testament and we don't really have to bother too much about them. Not quite that, but you know what I mean. And particularly the one about the Sabbath, about Sunday. My granddad, who I was very close to, was a farmer. He wasn't a churchgoer, but he'd been brought up a Methodist, in the Methodist tradition. And he would never, ever work on a Sunday. And he kind of, if I tried to do something with him on a Sunday, no way. So although he didn't go to church, there was this thing of the Sabbath was special. The Ten Commandments are God's instructions about how he wants his people to live. And note the word instructions. I think already when we say commandments, the kind of idea of a law, do not, etc., is wrong. They're instructions, and I'll go on. The first three are how we show respect and behave toward God. He is to be our only God. He alone is to be worshipped, and his name is to be respected. The commandments 1, 2, and 3. The last six are how we show respect and behave towards each other. We are to honour our parents. We are not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to lie about another person, and not to desire someone else's possessions. They are instructions about respect and good living. When Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment, he summarized the commandments as, love the Lord your God with all your being, the first three, and love your neighbor as yourself, the last six. Jesus was saying it is about your heart love, not about keeping rules and regulations. But what about the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Where does that fit in? The Sabbath is a day to rest, a day to keep holy or separate, a day for God. When Jesus says, love your neighbor, he qualifies it with, as yourself. The fourth commandment, between the first three about respecting and loving God, and the last six about respecting and loving our neighbor, is about us. The day of rest is a gift from God. God created for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. God loves us. He knows we need to rest, and therefore in his instructions to his people about how to live, he provides a day of rest from work. The Pharisees had made this commandment a burden on the people. They enumerated 39 major categories of work with hundreds of subcategories. And for each, there was things that people could do and not do on the Sabbath. For example, you couldn't turn a light on. You couldn't light a light on the Sabbath. You couldn't cut your hair. You couldn't cut your nails. You couldn't add water to a vase of flowers. And ladies, you couldn't apply makeup. They called it putting a fence around the law. It was to protect their religious rules and traditions, which helped to protect their own elevated status in society. They were using what God had ordained as religious people to elevate themselves, rather than looking at what was the heart of God behind it. This was not the purpose of the fourth commandment. Rather, the purpose was to instruct people to take time to rest and to remember God. That was the purpose. Coming to church and having a day of rest does not make us righteous in the eyes of God, but it does help us remember and acknowledge God's gift of grace in Jesus. That's the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The second of Jesus' statement is, Jesus also says, he is Lord of the Sabbath. What does this mean? To the Pharisees, he was saying he was God. God, the Lord, gave the Sabbath to man. Jesus is telling the Pharisees he is God. No wonder the section ends with the Pharisees leaving to plot to kill him. They see it as blasphemy, what he said. But for Mark and Peter, it's the argument of Jesus having authority over everything because he is God, of demonstrating to everyone that Jesus is God and that he will reign over all. Jesus, as well as saying he is Lord of the Sabbath, also in Mark says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus offers not one day a week for rest, but continual rest. At present, there is a lot of unrest in our world and in our country. We've had COVID, now war in Ukraine, worries about climate change, the cost of living, energy and fuel prices, political infighting. It's very easy to listen to the news and to feel weary and heavy burdened. However, I think when Jesus says, come to me with your heavy burdens, he is not so much talking about external factors, but about our inward feelings. Those burdens might be guilt feelings about our past, what we did or did not do. They might be worry about the present, for example, about our work, our family, our health. or anxiety about the future. What is the world coming to? And that question we avoid except at funerals. What will happen to me when I die? I listened to Peter speak at a funeral service this last week. The church was absolutely packed. It was 3 or 4 deep at the back. I think Mike was here as well. Yeah, absolutely packed. The people that were here do not normally come to church. I think they're actually the type of people that Jesus would have reached out to. And Peter spoke from Ecclesiastes 3. And the particular verse was, God has set eternity in the human heart. God has set eternity in the human heart. I've heard it said that Christianity is a crutch, a support, perhaps something we lean on when we are weary and heavy burdened. Christianity is far more. Than a crutch. It is faith and trust in Jesus, who is Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of our rest, who has all authority and is the Son of God, the one who satisfies the desire of eternity that God has put in our hearts. I remember when Penny and I lived in Africa, there was very little public transport, and people would walk miles carrying water or food. One day when driving the pickup, I saw an old lady carrying a huge sack of grain on her head. I stopped and I told her to get in the back of the pickup. And as I drove away, I noticed in the rearview mirror that she had sat down, but that she was still carrying the heavy sack on her head. Sometimes that's what we do. Jesus says, "Come to me." He offers forgiveness of sins and new resurrection life. He says, "Stop carrying those burdens. Put them at the cross. Accept his rest and his promise of eternity." Amen.